Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report on this Monday, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I, as always, on the Armor Report, cover stock market investing through the millennial lens. It's not your dad's stock market, certainly not your granddad's. There's just too much information coming at you from all sides. And in order to excel, you've got to use millennial tools. So what we do on the desk every day at noon is come at you and try to share information directly off our trading desk, where we look at the interaction between traditional fundamental analysis and millennial execution. And I'll explain more of that, you know, throughout the show, what millennial execution is. But obviously, we focus on algorithms here. Executing using a strategy that is backed by probabilities and statistics as opposed to fear and greed, or looking at the past and trying to guess what's going to happen in the future. We try to avoid that here. So there's a lot to get to today. Let's have some fun. In the midst of a collapsing market, your first thing you want to do is change your emotions from fear and start realizing that that's when opportunity shows up in a collapsing market. All right, so step one, in our effort to help you, on our homepage of our website, rosenthalcapital.com, we have a risk monitor. Okay? Armor Report stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. It all starts with risk management. And so on that homepage, we have this risk monitor where we use our algorithms on the top five indexes, and we try to give you as clear a picture of the big market indexes as possible for direction. And when you look at that page, and I'll give you a minute to go to the site to look at it with me. That's rosenthalcapital.com. You're going to see real-time Armor Report risk on, risk off monitor. And we have some new writing today. It's a big day. Those of you who have followed this website, you know, since July 5th, what you've read right under that headline is that we're long the S&P, and we've been long since the 5th, and the NASDAQ and the Dow, and you know, we really had a great run. But we've changed the importance of the risk monitor to this. QQQ risk off. Now, if you're following me on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report, you know that last week we were risk off the Qs. Okay? The best place to get real-time updates on the Armor algorithms is through Twitter. When we get the changes, we try to tweet them as soon as possible. Then we hit this monitor page, and then we try to talk about it on this show and share the information with you of how it changes our exposure on the desk. So step one, well, let's go back a minute, okay? Step one was 10 days ago when the Armor Report monitor, risk on, risk off, was telling you get out of small caps. And you can go back and, you know, listen to our podcasts if you want to hear exactly what we said 10 days ago. At the bottom of our homepage, you'll see all of our podcasts and all the Armor Report, podcasts and shows, okay? And you'll see 10 days ago, we said, look, it's risk off small caps. And we talked about how sometimes that can be a leading indicator for the market. Small caps tend to be under-supported by institutions. So when things start to go awry, the small caps are the canary in the coal mine, you know? And so is, to a lesser extent, the mid-caps, MDY. So we look at IWM and MDY. Those two exchange-traded funds were at the cutting edge of this collapse. 10 days ago, we told you, get out of Dodge. And we said that's going to raise the risk on this whole market. Now, you heard the narrative on financial news networks that sell-off was just a rotation into big caps because of trade talks, da-da-da-da-da. And hey, look, that could have been true. It could have been true. But obviously it was incorrect, which is so happens a lot on financial news networks. There's always an axe to grind. And And you have to understand that. So what we're doing here on our trading desk is just looking at the facts of probabilities and statistics. And so what we saw 10 days ago was, well, I don't care what the reasons are. I'm not trying to guess if it's rotation or not. All I know is if two of the top five market indexes are telling us to raise cash and get rid of risk, then we have to do that throughout our portfolio. It's just time to book some profits. We've had a great run. Typically speaking, when those indexes start to break down, it's not rotation. It's the beginning of a decline in the whole market. And I discussed that on, I think, last week's Armor Report. So I'm not going to go over it again today. There's too many things I have to get to. But clearly, 10 days ago, it was time to sell small caps. So now, last week, we had the triple Qs join the fray. All right? And we put it right up here on our monitor, risk off. Markets headed lower. We're still long the Dow and the S&P, but at a reduced exposure. So when you've got the small caps, the mid caps, and the NASDAQ 100 all risk off based on the algorithms, if you've still got a couple risk on positions like the S&P and the Dow, which is where money's hiding right now, you could stick with some of those positions. But you want to be paring back the whole portfolio, getting rid of anything that's not core. You want to be booking profits where you've got them. And we were doing this last week, and we were talking about it on the show. It's time to get more defensive. We're not in 100% cash position. I'm not calling for a bear market. It's not a collapse. But if you look at our portfolio on our trading desk, we have slimmed it down to the bare minimum of what we want to hold right now. And by the end of today, we might even reduce it more. We've got, I'm telling you right now, live off the trade desk, we've got 57% cash in our model portfolio. 57% cash. So that's a pretty heavy cash position. And it'll be a heavier position at the end of the day if the market ends up here, which is not a guarantee it's going to end up here. I mean, the market just, the S&P, when I say the market, the S&P just took a breakdown here at 1142, below the average true range low of the day, and below a Friday's low. So it's, and it did it on volume, and you know that may mean the market's going a lot lower. But I've also seen many times that when you dip below the previous low of yesterday, and you do it below the average true range, and you do it on volume, that sometimes sets up the reversal higher by the end of the day. So beware. This is important. For 7 days, after we told you on the show that, hey, time to get out of small caps, then we went through a period where 7 days in a row, the market rallied in the morning and sold off in the last 2 hours. Clearly distribution. Institutions were selling into strength. Interestingly enough, in the last 2 days, the markets have plummeted lower. They've been down big in the morning and rallied in the afternoon. So if we have a third day where the market sells off in the morning, but I'll have you know, each day of the last two, if the market broke down at 11:30 and it looked scary at 12:30 and 1:30, but by the end of the day, prices were at or above the 11:30 price. So that was just shakeout noise. Okay? You don't want to respond to that. And if we get another stronger close, that would be, it'd be very interesting for the market, particularly if it takes the S&P back above the 50-day moving average. So, to wrap up my first thought, I would say, number one, we've been recommending that you all raise cash and get defensive for 10 days. Okay? Now we're getting the sell-off. But now's not a time to panic. If you've been following what we're saying on this trading desk, if you're picking up what we've been laying down, you're already in a defensive position, okay? And now what you want to do is start building your wish list, because if the market finds support in here and we get another risk on entry point, we're going to want to know where we want to go already. Now's the time to do your homework. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I'm going to go through rule number 27 of things I've learned over 30 years of doing this. Going to share with you on the desk periodically. This is rule number 27, how to build my list and when to build it. But I do want to just talk about a couple things, a couple housekeeping things about news stories that are on my mind to share with you. I'm hearing a lot of chatter from guys that I respect, I respect Gunlocker. I don't know if you all read him. I think he's a real intelligent guy. But there's a lot of different, you know, then there's some guys I don't respect, like Ron Paul. Doesn't have any idea what the market's going to do from one minute to the next, but he loves coming out and telling you it's going to drop 50% in the very near term. Gunlocker says that, you know, rates are definitely blowing out here, and that's going to, you know, bring, you know, a major problem for the stock market. Sometimes he's right, sometimes he's not. But what I want to suggest is this. If we are entering a new bear market, if this is actually the top, it will not be because of any of the things you're reading in financial news today. The reason in retrospect will be something else. All the fear-mongering that goes on financial networks is really useless when it comes to investing. There's always a rehashing of the past. And the past almost never repeats itself, and particularly not in the millennial market. It might have – actually, let me rephrase that. It did repeat itself for probably 100 years. But after 2008, where it became clear that central banks will step in and manipulate markets, it's been a mistake to look at the past and assume that the market is going to do X because it did X the last time. That's the mistake that a lot of people have been making since 2008. They keep looking at the past saying, oh, this is about to happen because it happened then, and then it doesn't happen that way. And it's because there's a silent hand manipulation going on. And so what we try to do is just use algorithms to tell us when is the reward worth the risk. And we put capital to work with stop losses, and we stop trying to guess what's going to happen next or why. It doesn't help you make money. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Mike Santoli. I really appreciate him responding to me on Twitter. And if you go look at my Twitter feed, it's, you know, hashtag Armor Report. And you'll see, and now Mike is a commentator on CNBC, and I like him, I respect him. But he put up a tweet about how tomorrow is the 11th anniversary of the 2007 market peak. And my response is that type of tweet is just detrimental to investors. Investors have enough of a difficult time dealing with the cacophony of information coming in today's millennial market that's full of fear. And the fear-greed response is constantly triggered. And so my question to Mike at the time was like, what possible good does that tweet do for an investor today? That 11 years ago, the market peaked? Who cares? Now, I respect what he says. I mean, he says, look, it's an important point in history, and he's pointing it out. And I respect him, and I respect that he's doing, you know, his job. But I'm just saying, for investors, don't let those types of tweets or those types of comments on CNBC or wherever, whatever financial network, change your investing strategy, because they really have no bearing on the position the market is in today or the type of market we're dealing with. You see, we're in a millennial market. After 2008, the Stock Traders Almanac ceased to work. Let's go over a couple of fun facts from this year, right? What'd you hear on financial networks going into May? Sell in May and go away. Big mistake, the market was up in May. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff like that. Oh, September's the worst month of the year. September was up. Guess that was wrong. Those types of arguments are old arguments for your granddad and your dad's stock market. It's not the millennial market. Those things will just lead you astray. And I guess what I'd say to Gunlocker is, look, you might be right. Who knows what rates are going to do next? But I think it's very difficult to guess what rates are going to do next when central banks are a silent hand in the process. And you really never know what they're doing behind the scenes to execute their agenda that changes the way the stock market reacts to what's being said in the news. That's the key. All right. So we get away from trying to predict and guess, and we just look at the facts of statistics and probabilities and execute based on it. But again, I want to say thanks a lot, Mike Santoli, for the response. You didn't have to, and I appreciate that you did. All right, let's get to rule number 27. I just want to share with you, I've been doing this over 30 years, managing my own capital and capital for high net worth individuals. And I just thought I would, periodically on the Armor Report, share with you some of the processes that I've learned over time. And step one to be a successful investor is to change your perception of sell-offs. You need to love sell-offs. You can't be afraid of them. You have to be excited by them. Now, the only way to do that is to make sure you're putting capital to work correctly using an execution model for the millennial age and selling into strength. You need to be buying weakness and then selling into strength so that when you get a sell-off like this, you've got firepower to put capital back to work. And so instead of being upset about it, you get excited about it. So if 10 days ago you were raising cash, as we suggested on the Armor Report, you're not upset about what's happening today. You're saying, hey, statistically speaking, this was expected. Risk was too high. We had warning signs. We raised cash. We booked profits on the way up. So now we're ready to redeploy assets. And, look, depending on the type of investor you are, you could be aggressively raising cash 10 days ago. You could just raise a little bit of cash 10 days ago. But you got to do something to put yourself in a position to appreciate the sell-offs instead of be afraid of them. So what we're doing right now is we're building our list and we're checking it twice. We've got the cash. Now we're looking for the right investments. And this is what you want to grab a pen, a piece of paper, and write down. These are the steps that we follow on our trading desk to build our list of what stocks and what groups we want to own. The groups we kind of already know. We're focusing, as you know from previous Armor Reports, on the millennial market themes. So those themes don't really change. We just look to buy them on weakness. Those themes are cloud computing, which have been destroyed, those stocks. Great. They're going to come right into our breadbasket. Okay. We're looking at 5G investments. We're looking at marijuana investments. Take your pick. Create your own list of millennial trends that you want to have in your portfolio. Then you drill down and you find individual stocks that you want to own. And what we do is we find a stock we want to own, however you do it. We like Investor's Business Daily. We follow, we use that website a lot to bring us new ideas. We love watching CNBC at the lunch hour. You get the traders that come on. I think even Mike's been on there. They share information to companies they own. You get a lot of great ideas from that show. I think it's Fast Money? Is that what it's called? Not the best name for an investing show, but and I like to listen to Jim Cramer every morning, 9 o'clock. Got to hear what he's saying, and of course you can watch Cramer, later in the day. And you got to separate, the noise from the nuggets. There's going to be pieces of information from these guys that are worthwhile. And I'm going to share one investment idea with you at the end of the show that I actually picked up from Fast Money. I forget who it was. One of the guys was talking about this on Fast Money, and it's brilliant. It's a no-brainer. And I'm looking to put money. It's on my list, the top of my list. I'll go over it before the show ends. But I just want to get back to the list. How do we do it? We find ideas we like. Then we research them. Read all the information you can about them. Then we get on conference calls. Anybody, any investor, this is the beauty of the millennial market. You couldn't do this. My dad couldn't do this, right? My dad was an investment analyst. So he would get on the phone, talk to management teams one-on-one, or, you know, meet management teams directly. We worked in New York. I worked with my pop. We used to meet 3 or 4 management teams a week. They would come in and sit down in our meeting room and, you know, give us their philosophy on their company and what they were trying to do. One-on-one meetings. It was a great way to gather information. But in today's world, you don't need to do it. You don't need to do that. You could go online and be on every conference call for earnings, listening to what all the analysts' questions that they're asking. You can ask your own if you want. You can get on countless analyst days where the company, you know, webcasts it. As an individual investor, you can gather your own information. I mean, it helps to know what you're looking for. But if you do it long enough, you start to understand when managements are spinning a tail or when managements are really laying out a powerful investment idea. And of course, that comes with experience. So that's a little bit of a harder thing to do on the list. But I would still recommend you do it. It's worthwhile to get on an earnings conference call and listen to what analysts are asking. And from there, you can start to understand why the stock's moving higher or lower. Educate yourself. You've got the tools to do it in the millennial world. And then, of course, the key is this. This is the difficult part. Once you do all that work, you find a company, you find a trend, you find a company, you do your research, you listen to conference calls, you get all excited about it. Be careful. Don't run out there and buy it. That's not how to put money to work. You put it on your whiteboard at that point. And you say, okay, now I'm going to use an investment algorithm that employs probability and statistics from a risk-reward standpoint to tell me when it's time to put capital to work. We waited over a year, before we bought a single cannabis stock. And then we loaded up on our ETF MJ at $27 a share in the middle of August. We've been researching cannabis stocks for a year. We never bought a share. The algorithm gave us the entry point, and it dovetailed with a major watershed event, which was the investment from Constellation Brands into Canopy. And we had a huge winner on our hands, you know, 3 weeks later. So we stalk investments on our trading desk and we wait. You know, MJ was trading at multi-year lows when we had the risk-reward entry point and we were talking about it on the show. Now's the time, we said. Now's the time. The same thing with IBM. Everyone's debating whether or not IBM is a dinosaur, it can't recover, blah, blah, blah. At $143 a share, paying over a 4% yield, it was a no-brainer. Stock's 147, ran as high as 153, up 10 bucks after we bought it. We're picking up a fat yield. Hey, maybe we're right. We personally think it's turned a corner and we're going to start to see surprises on the upside. We don't know, but we bought it right. That's the final step, the most important step. Be patient. Wait for your opportunity to strike on weakness. It always comes. Always comes. You'll always get your shot. And if you build your whiteboard big enough, you won't care if you miss one idea here or one idea there happens to run away from you and you have to buy it 6 months later on a sell-off. That's okay. You're working on something else. That's how you build your trading desk. You do your research, you find your trend, you find your stocks, and then you wait for the right execution on weakness. Rule number 27 on the Armour Report. All right. We only got 4 minutes left. What are we going to talk about now? There's so many things I want to share with you. Things like in the millennial market, the sell-offs get vicious because there's no real bids and offers today. In your dad's stock market, we didn't have decimal points. We had fractions. When I got into the business, everything was quoted in fractions. You had bids, you had offers, you had market makers, and you could see where the real size was. Today, you're getting fractions of pennies. Please don't think that there's actually a real bidder there. And so when the market starts to go down, it gets ugly quick because there's no real bids there. A lot of dark pools. You can't figure out where the bid is. It's just the world we live in. I talk about millennial tools on this show all the time, or a millennial market. And you say to yourself, what the heck is he talking about? That's what I'm talking about. When I got into this business, everything was quoted in fractions. There were market makers. The floor of the New York Stock Exchange was an impressive place to be. Today, it's a joke. Everything's done online with fractions of pennies. But I submit to you that there's still big buyers and big sellers that are making markets. You just don't know where they are. And that's what intraday algorithms are doing. They're constantly whipping you back and forth between those real bids and those real offers. Be advised. Kind of jumping around now in the last couple minutes. I just, like I said, I got a lot of things I want to try to share with you off the desk today because it's a big day. Markets are down big. But I do want to tell you, well, I guess I did already. I mean, it's just as possible that the market is bottoming here and it's going to reverse higher with a buy signal in a minute. So be careful that you don't get too afraid of what's going on here. In fact, what I just said a few minutes ago is starting to play out in the S&P. I said the market broke down at 1142 below the average true range low of the day. The ATR is a term you should get used to. Do some research on it. We have our own proprietary ATRs for everything that we trade here intraday. It's an integral part of our algorithms. And one reason is we feel it helps represent where the real bids and offers are in the market. Without fractions, without market makers, with fractions of pennies and dark pools, it's hard to figure that out. That's the millennial market we're in. And the tool we use, one of them at least, is the ATR. The average true range, high and low. And we couple that with the VWAP, volume weighted average price. Write those two things down and then go do some research when the show's over. Even if you just start using out of the box common ATRs and VWAPs, you'll do better at understanding market behavior intraday. We of course have our own proprietary ATRs and VWAPs. Amic. But I would say that what we'll be focusing on now, like we had a, if you've been listening to the show the last couple of weeks, we've had a number of new either groups we were looking to buy that we could never get into because the algorithm wouldn't let us, things like the semiconductors, for instance. We talked about it twice in the show, and we said, hey, at the end of the day, we just can't get in it. And, of course, the semis have since collapsed and broken to new lows. So the algos kept us out of the semis. But we also stepped up and bought, K-Web and had a gain in that position. It came back to break even. We told you all we're out. That was our stop, and now it's plummeted to new lows. We were long FDN, and we took a loss in it. It's the big cap internets. So over the last week or so, maybe the 10 days, while the small caps were breaking down, a number of groups were failing to give buy signals or were hitting stop losses. And so now what happens is I'm not buying any group right now. I'm going to focus. We got a lot of cash on hand. If the market turns, the first place we're going to go is the big cap stocks, the big cap indexes for safety. Just in case the buy signal fails, the market really is going into a bear market, you want liquidity right now. And if those entry points you take work in the big indexes, then you start spreading out into the smaller names. I'm going to leave you with that thought today. I look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. Don't forget, check our Twitter at the end of the day in case there's anything important that's occurring on our algorithms. We'll update hashtag Armor Report probably around 3:30 to 4, somewhere in there. I'll give you an update. All right? Have a good day trading. Be safe out there.